Yes.
That's the list we have. That's the most.
No, it's not. But there's been people that have called. Its names are not on here.
If they've called and talked to the ladies up front, that is on the list.
I know.
But there's four individuals for the developmentally disabled.
Right. I got that copy too. But I know you're back to order here. But the list that we have is people that have actually physically talked to Jillian or Nikki. They're on that list, or sent an email or a letter. Now, if there's somebody not in here, they may have talked to you, but not called them.
Yeah, I will discuss that later.
Okay. Well, I know there is. For clarification, regarding planning and zoning, Jasper County.
Okay, give me just a moment, please. I want to go to my list.
I'm going to talk about vacancies we've got. Okay.
Hey, you're talking about P and Z.
Yeah, you're broadcasting, right?
You're talking about P&Z.
Well, I have one copy, but it'll be clean. You can have it at the end of this. You can have my copy. I'll throw it away otherwise. Okay, P&Z, Plan and Zoning.
Yes.
All right, we have two positions that are vacant, or that are up for renewal, I should say, and one that has been has resigned, okay? So the positions that are vacancy right now, Jasper Township is up for renewal, and Mark Blackwell has said he doesn't want to serve again. Randall Cummings is from Beaver Township, which is up for a 4-year renewal. He has expressed interest he would serve again if he's called upon. And then we have Oliver Township. No, we don't. It's been updated. Sorry, that's that because we assigned Rick Caudill. The old list was, I looked at the old list. So those are the two positions. We only have two available in planning and zoning.
Right.
Okay, not three. I know your list says three, but there's only two, and it's Jasper and Beaver counties, okay. Townships. On BOA, there's two positions available. Those two gentlemen have all said that they would be willing to serve again.
All right, now let's go back to the list. So my listing where it says five is not, that's not correct.
No.
No.
Two. All right.
So if you're looking at the list that was just given to you right here of names that have submitted.
Yes.
Okay. Randall Cummings obviously is in the
Beaver
Township. I was tuned.
It's the only name submitted, right, from that township.
From that township.
That's for P&Z.
Right.
Correct. This is the list you're looking at right now, Mr. Hausman, is the people who have called in, who said, or current members who are serving and said they'd be willing to serve again. What I don't know is, like, for example, Jeff Jackson, that Scott Township is not available this term. So
that's but he's got
BOA or planning and zoning.
Right.
In the Jasper, we have... David Stewart is in the Jasper Township, it looks like. And I have a couple, like Sue W. I don't know what her township is.
But she's currently on?
Well, I'm not sure I know who that is.
Oh, when her township comes available. I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah, and I don't know what township's at. Also with... So that's all we've got right now from a list of, from a township perspective of P&Z. So let me go to BOA real fast. On BOA.
And you gentlemen don't want to make appointments today? On those two, we don't have anybody else.
Well, there's a couple I don't know what the townships are, Danny.
No, if you're asking me my personal druthers, since we posted this as discussion today, I would rather that we post
it for appointments later. Yes. Okay, that's fine.
And I got to find out what township CW lives in. Okay. Moving on to Board of Adjustments.
You don't know what the W stands for?
I don't. Do you?
No.
Okay. So,
do we have a phone number or anything, Jim, because it doesn't show?
I'm
sure we probably have more information.
Okay.
We'll put
the two positions that are open for BOA are Jack Johnston's and Tom Gideon. Those two positions And they've both expressed interest in that, saying that they would serve again. And those are not by township, so those are open appointments. But if you look here, besides Jack and Tom being on that list that we have, we also have Jeff Jackson, Bradley Gore, Keith Crawford, Josh Smith. Those are all individuals who have expressed interest in serving. So, but I wanted to point that out also from the BOA. So there's two positions in BOA.
Okay.
From a park board, get to my list here. Currently, we have two positions that are open.
Are those full terms that are coming up, or those to fill the unexpired term?
Fill the unexpired term.
Okay.
Angela resigned, correct? Danny?
Right, but that's already been filled, I think. The two terms that are not, one...
Okay, I don't know what vacancies you're... Okay.
Do you have...
Is this something that's occurred since the first of the year?
Yes, one of them.
Well, we haven't had...
We haven't appointed anybody since the first of the year.
I know, but one of them is a vacancy that occurred since the first of the year.
Who is it? I'll give you the names. Jerry Sims, Angela,
Didn't
Sherry Nave.
Did you mention Cole, Darlene? Darlene Cole's position.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for him to get through the list.
Okay, that was the last question. Okay, so Darlene and Angela's are open then.
Okay.
That's what I show. We reappointed Jennifer Groves, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
That was last fall.
Last year.
That was in August of last year. I'm going to make some notes here. So those are not specifically townships. Names that we have received who are willing to serve on the park board are Josh Smith, Patricia Dooley, or Pat Dooley, Bradley Gore, Chip Mason. And we have a whole list here.
It's not on this my list, so here's that's one we can add.
Well, here's a whole list of park board candidates.
I thought there was...
Yeah, there's a list right here.
That's the reason I asked the question.
Yeah, okay. It's right here. There's about... Josh, Dennis House, Lynn. Kendall Hayes, Randall Lumley, Brenda Howe, Sherry, you were requested to be on there. All right. Keith David. There's about... That's half the list. There's about 15 names who want to serve on the park board.
Right, that's the reason I knew that this wasn't...
Okay. So there's two positions there. And those would both be, like I said, the Darlene Cole position would expire January 31st, 2013. The other term would expire, these are three-year terms, would expire April 1st of 2013.
Is there a reason why they're at different months?
No, sir. There's the bylaws. We have the bylaws. I think previous commissions, when they expired, they just reappointed them starting that point versus the actual term. So we could set the correct term.
Yeah, I think we really need to go back and do that very thing and find out when the terms originated and fill unexpired terms,
right,
et cetera, we have so that all appointments fall on the same day.
Right. So anyway, those are the two. On the SB 40 board, there's three openings. There's Max, who runs the I ran a blank on Max's last name. I apologize.
Lytle,
sorry. He's provided four names that their board has interviewed, and you have those in front of you. Mm-hmm. And he's ready for us to make a decision soon on that.
Well, there are others also that have expressed interest, so.
Okay. What we've given direction in the past, Ron, was that they go through Max to get their bios and let them collect all the information and then present to us. So that they probably need to contact Max if there's others who want to serve on that. And that's how we've done it in the past. I think last year we went through a process on that.
I wanted to make one statement to you. There's P&Z is by township.
Uh-huh.
BOA has some regulations. Those can only be like two out of a incorporated municipal area, and the rest of them have to be in a rural area, okay, of the five appointees. And then the other members of the park board has not, doesn't have any regulations on that. Now, I did say BOA, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
I thought I said BOE. BOA is what I meant to say. There are
you
regulations.
You can go there if you want, I think, Jim.
Yeah, you want to start that one?
But anyway, and you guys just want to discuss these, get the total names down, and then make an appointment probably next week. We could do that at our Monday meeting.
I'm making notes here. We've got some more homework to do before I can even get names, such as the BOA. You're right. There is rules on that, and yeah, I don't have it listed here which ones are serving in what capacity right now. So we got to make sure we understand what the vacancies truly are.
Right.
Can they serve from an incorporated area or a non-incorporated area?
Right,
so,
and that's
right.
Missouri statute. That.
And then on the Transportation Advisory Board that we formed last year, we have one vacancy, and that's in district number 5. So we have a map of districts if they want to, if there's interest there.
That district number 5 runs up in the Roark Creek area.
Off of Sycamore Church Road, I believe.
Sycamore Church Road. It's kind of a.
It's up in that corner. It's up in the corner.
Yes, it's laid out by population is the way we form that. And
so do we have maps on the individual districts if they're not counting mine?
Yes.
For each one of these boards? That would be a great piece of information to have, along with what the statutory requirements are that we're going to examine.
As far as I know, Ron, there's only two statutory requirements other than the numbers that sit on the boards. Location-wise for park boards, the others have no statutory requirements. We went through all this a couple of years ago when we made a mistake and approved more board members for the park board than we did. We had to have advisory members at that point instead of.
Well, for me, it would be nice to have some public input on a number of areas that I think are germane to boards that the county commission places people on. We have boards that people have served on for 25 years or 20 years. It's nice to have the historical perspective from someone who served that long, and obviously they're interested, they wouldn't have, but there are also a number of people who perhaps would like to serve. So we need a good balance, I know both you gentlemen know that, of individuals who have served lengthy terms and new people as well that have interest in those boards. But just
right.
Food for thought.
On the sewer board, we show we don't have a vacancy till the end of this year. There's no vacancies currently. Unless someone's resigned that I'm not aware of, which I don't believe is, their terms, there's no one's terms expires until, the next expired term is William Cummings, and that's December 31st of this year. So we're 11 months away. So there really is no sewer appointments there. Okay. And then on the Senior Citizens Board, we had one person who has resigned because of their retiring, which is Vonnie from the Hollister area. I think everyone's been invited to her. I think, isn't her retirement bash? Was it last week or is it this week? Next, yeah, it's the, okay, that's what I thought. Another week or so away. So, anyway, she's as she retires, we'll have a vacancy there.
Right.
So that's the only other position, and that is, I think the statutes clearly say, I think it's actually the presiding commissioner chooses that based off the statutes on that. And that would be the list.
Well, again, and I apologize for being redundant, I think it's critically important that we look at all the statutory requirements, as you said. I would love to also peruse maps for those individual districts that are involved and before making those decisions, unless there's one or two that you gentlemen feel we need to move importantly on. Also, I'd like to add to this, because we have not filled the positions that county commissioners are required to sit on for various boards. We've talked at that, mm-hmm. but we haven't done that. So could we schedule that also?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can probably talk about it right now. I mean, what ones were we required to serve on?
Well, there's 5, 6, 7 boards, and I don't have that in front of me.
Okay.
University Extension is one. I think, Dan, you currently serve on that, correct?
Right, and I've had a phone call from them on the New Year anticipation and stuff. We were snow evented on one, so.
Well, let's just help ourselves along here while we're chatting about boards. And it's your interest to remain on that particular board, correct?
That's fine, yes.
Jim, you serve on Missouri Association of Counties Board. It's your interest to stay on that board, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's two.
I serve on the TDD, Transportation Development District, part of the airport. I'm open to relinquishing. It's a 3-year term. But I'm open to letting someone else serve on that too. Or it's a 4-year term.
I think you're just probably doing an excellent job there, Jim.
I appreciate your. I mean,
if it's a 4-year term, I don't believe you fulfill that commitment.
Oh, I can resign. I think. I want to make sure I'm sharing my duties.
We have a number of opportunities that we're going to go through.
Okay.
Can we just put that one off to the side for a moment?
I guess we're going to.
How about, is it OCAC?
OCAC, yes, sir.
And is that the one where they require a percentage to be presiding commissioners by their bylaws, not by Missouri law? But
correct. And just clarification, they have enough presiding commissioners so it can serve anybody. They did
so
fine.
Then you could add another to your list.
That's why I was trying to.
You are just.
And I was set up as.
This guy I ever saw.
I was already signed up as the set backup to the primary.
What other position, gentlemen, offhand, can you think of very quickly? And then just give us something to think about.
Well, I'm concerned to bring up any more because I think I'll get them. So
it's fairly you should divide them up.
The other one is the Solid Waste Commission. That right now I'm the board appointment for that, but I found out that we can send an appointee anytime. It doesn't have to be a commissioner. I serve on the board, but. We've had other employees go and report back to the commission on that. And then, of course, is it...
Does it have to be a commissioner that is appointed to that individual board or another...
Bylaws say commissioners, but attendees can be anybody.
So, in other words, you have an alternate that you can send. That...
Correct.
Well, okay.
That's in Marionville. The challenge with that one is it's the same day and time as the Point Lookout Airport board meeting. So,
how often does the Solid Waste Commission meet?
Monthly.
It's monthly.
It matches exactly to the board meeting.
I'd like to chat about that one. As you may or may not know, I was chairman of the Solid Waste Subcommittee of NACO for 10 years.
I'd be willing to share that board appointment.
I have interest there. I'm just
okay. Then that's one that.
But I would serve.
Right.
I move that nomination cease.
No, we're not pointing, gentlemen. We're just talking.
I knew I should have put the word appointments on there.
Was there a Claire? Something you gentlemen suggested?
Cleo?
That's the one. What is that?
Danny, you can field that question.
I attended as a substitute in that, and it's held in Springfield. It's a rather large board. It's kind of like the Missouri Extension, except I think the numbers are larger than that. That's on that board, and
I'm just unclear what it is. Is it a leadership of elected officials, or is it a?
No, it's Bill's. It's
I'm pulling it up. I don't remember. I
Yeah. Basically, it's the same type of helping citizens as OCAC and things like that, I think.
Does, I guess a county commissioner is not required to serve on the senior citizens?
No.
No.
I also realized that years ago, county commissions were required to serve on the sewer board. One member had to be, and they changed that law. However, there are, on sewer boards across the state, commissioners that do serve. So that's something to, I think about. You have something for us.
You're asking about CLIA?
Yes.
It's Council of Local Elected Officials.
Those run from anybody that's even in an incorporated area all the way up to.
Ah.
So.
The CLEO, the Council of Local Elected Officials, one of their responsibilities is to appoint the Workforce Investment Board. And. How often does this board meet, Nikki? And is it statutorily required, or is it just one that they ask?
Once a month. I don't know whether it's statutorily required.
What I see is an agreement that you've handed me of locally elected officials, and it looks like
former presiding served on that board in
counties of Christian, Dallas, Green, Polk, Stone, Taney, Webster, and the city of Springfield, the state of Missouri. Hereinafter, the Ozark region. They are the counties and the officials that authorized the creation of this board, if I'm reading this right, and to administer the provisions of Public Law 105-220, the Workforce Investment Act, is what that is. And this has got the previous presiding commissioner's signature on it.
They are waiting for a new one to be signed.
I'm wrong.
It's a rather long meeting, Ron, if you decide to take it. I know they even hand out a... they have a lunch. Have you attended a gym? Did you?
No.
But they have a lunch and an afternoon meeting also. It takes up, the meeting takes up an entire scheduled day by the time you go up there and go through their meeting.
Holy cow. Well, my... the mission statement is to create a well-prepared workforce that meets the needs of a responsible business community. Purposes are applaudable as I'm reading through the recommendations and unemployment and employment, training delivery network, etc.
The meeting's filled with all kinds of charts every time of employment records and opportunity.
The chief local elected official may officially designate an alternate local elected official to serve in his or her capacity.
Any elected official. I think we have 13 or so. didn't say commissioner.
No, I understand.
Okay, just making clarifying your request.
I didn't miss that at all.
Oh, good. I was reading, making sure if there was
such shall have rights and privileges. Each member holds a position. It looks to me like it's the person that serves on the board is the chief local elected official, according to Section 2. She'll serve as long as he or she holds the position of chief local elected official. And then he could designate someone to serve as an alternate. Gentlemen, the question is, on this particular board, do we want to move forward and remain a part of this? I don't see that it's statutory.
I've not reviewed the bylaws, so I need to, probably before I can make a decision, is look at some of the paperwork there, Ron.
It's an informative meeting, and
holy cow. My suggestion is that both of you gentlemen read this, and let's make a decision, and if you want to move forward, then I will serve on it.
Be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
The other one that we'll be getting will
Cleo.
Be... Yeah, another one that we'll be appointing to is based off of once we discuss and decide on what level the, what we used to call OREP, Ozark Regional Economic Partnership, now it's called SREP. Part of the membership level will be, we will serve on a board. Previously, when it was OREP, the presiding commissioner served, or at least we had a seat on that board. So we need to... once we decide what level we're going to participate.
What is it called today, Jim?
SREP. Springfield Regional Economic Partnership. It used to be called OREP. And I have that documentation. I think we've had the presentation from Jeff Seifert on that. So. We have budgeted $2,500 in that membership.
I think it's a critical.
I do too.
Organization, quite frankly, that we can't miss being involved in. I just didn't know of the CLIO when we were...
I've heard about it. I don't know much about it. That was always something that was served. So, from a board perspective, that's all the boards I can think of that either are required or we've, through membership or associations, have served on.
Got to be something else. Right now, Dan Extension, Jim Mack, Jim TDD, if I do the OCAC, Jim, currently your solid waste mm-hmm. commission, and the CLIO is the presiding commissioner, although he may designate another elected official in the courthouse as his alternate.
Mm-hmm.
I see you looking at me.
Well, if we're going to divide these up
equally,
I think we need to.
I think to
chat.
Oh, I think so too.
I think it's
see exactly which one you're most interested in.
I really think it's looking pretty equal to me. And
I tend to disagree with you. Okay, we will.
And that's all
follow,
I have from
follow up on those as well.
I do have some action items. We'll get some more detail on the other boards we've discussed. Get some more details that we're looking for. I took notes here. I'll get with either Nikki or Jillian to get some of the documentation for us to get before we can move forward on appointing positions. I know Mr. McCullough is here because we couldn't find that letter that. And so I think he just brought it over.
Yes.
Is that right, Mr. Bill?
Correct.
Okay. That's the second thing on the agenda here.
You want me to make copies of that?
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen this.
I mean,
you can't
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's already.
Oh, already sent down to the.
Should have already been approved. Is that for me?
If you don't.
Just in case.
Already. We've already. Okay. We've gone through accounts payable.
Okay.
That's done.
Okay.
So the nuisance enforcement cases, we already had voted on that last time. It's the other matters that we didn't have. Voted on.
This is from action we did back in, November, I think.
I'm not sure when we did that. I thought it was earlier than
it
that.
It may have been.
We did. It was earlier than that.
Okay.
Well, if you could clarify it for me.
I had submitted a, responded to a solicitation.
Come on up, Bill. Sorry.
I had responded to a solicitation for bid on the nuisance cases, and I was awarded the contract. So this would provide that in all respects that agreement remains in full force and effect for nuisance cases, and then anything else I do for the county commission is covered in the second paragraph.
It would be important then for the county to reconsider the nuisance ordinance, would it not? Or
it's on the list of things we need to get to. I think we put it in March to discuss, knowing February is going to be pretty full.
I have an individual coming in today to talk to me about it, of which I have limited knowledge, but hope to bone up before that meeting late this afternoon. Okay, you gentlemen have already approved this, correct?
Part of it. The other part is, for example, when we, once again, we don't have to have contracts on professional services, and we quite often don't do that when it comes to legal. We basically match up the attorney with job when we outsource, and which statutorily we can do. This is, I believe, I wouldn't say a discount, but an aggressive rate for us in case we wanted to pull them in. And
then it would be the paragraph two would be blanket.
Right.
So we wouldn't have to do everything on a case by case.
Right.
If we don't want to.
Kind of to help the workload until we fully discuss that legal department that we're going to be expanding. So.
May I? No? Well, I would entertain a motion, gentlemen.
I can't see what it says here, so I can word it properly. Thank you. Motion to approve the special county counselor agreement with Bill McCullough.
As presented.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the special county counselor agreement as presented by Bill McCullough, by and between the county and Mr. McCullough. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carried unanimously. I could sign this now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And each of us, and today's date is the 7th,
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Get all three of us on this one.
Would you do me the great favor of letting us have a copy of that?
I'll go make a copy.
If you want to take the original upstairs, they'll get all the signatures necessary on that.
There we go. Let's see, you got to get Rick's on there, don't you?
Let me have him as pen
down. I got a black one here. I got a black one.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. McCullough.
And the original upstairs.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
And I will just hold the nuisance cases until I hear.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that requires a public hearing before we can do anything on that.
Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a requirement, Danny. It's something I think that you and two previous commissioners agreed
now,
to.
Wasn't before I. It was all took place before I
okay,
got here. So
okay.
Don't try to.
I'm just. I didn't find it in the statutes. That's all I was going to say. So.
It was a promise made and adoption of the nuisance by the previous commission before I came on board. That stated well enough to suit your.
Oh, it suits me great.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, do we have more on the boards?
We do. Oh, no, on the boards. I think we're at a sufficient stopping point so that we can get a clean list, and if the press wants to reissue a clean list of what we're looking for specifically, because there's some spots or vacancies that we haven't received any information, and the TDD one is a brand new one.
Right.
So there's a couple things, we can help, if you guys wouldn't mind writing an article to the press.
Yeah.
But we'll get a clean list to you guys.
They've done
today.
That before for us, mm-hmm. And I much appreciated it. Button brought up about different appointments.
Well, these are also things that we could have been addressing in the course of the meetings over the past month, but we've been concentrating on budget. I'm going to push that chair out so I can see you guys.
I was going to bring up a different subject real fast so we can give some direction to some people.
We've got some great boards that individuals who are wanting to volunteer their services would have an opportunity in a number of different areas and fields to get involved in these county boards. And I, for one, really encourage people who, at least to this point, that haven't been involved, to consider getting involved in some of these boards. I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
I was just going to, Helen Succi did email us the sheet, and we need to get some direction. The numbers are so off, our sales tax revenue, we almost probably need to have Rick Finley talk to us, or we want to place a call to the state to Jack Goodman or somebody. The report that we've got shows that we were increased 34.6% last month compared to a year ago, which we know is, I don't know if that's astronomically even possible. I mean, is that even possible for us to be up that much? Which, so I think we need to, the numbers are the numbers unless the DOR decides to take them back because they, but we don't have any direction of what this number constitutes.
Yeah.
And it'd be up that much. And I can tell you this number is $75,000 higher than any number we've had since, what year is this?
I'll tell you what I suspicion.
2000. We haven't had this much before 2000. So as far as we can go back, that's how skewed this number looks. Go ahead, Ron.
I think it would be important to take a look at some of the surrounding counties and see what, and Helen could do that,
yeah,
just with a telephone call to three or four counties and see what they received in sales tax. I'm very concerned about the state's abilities to provide services at this existing point in time. They're just having some terrible difficulties in Jefferson City. And I, too, am concerned about that. Sir, you started to say something?
That actually happened in Stone County a couple months ago. Pretty much the same number as 34%. There was a reason for it. There was.
Hi, Helen.
I just sent you an email.
It's funny because it was that number, and they thought
it was. The Stone County incident that I remember was because of when the filing date fell on that time of the month versus the reporting date. And Branson sees that sometimes on their reporting days. If it falls within 4 or 5 days, they know that it's going to be really skewed.
Yeah.
We've never experienced anything like this, and this number's never been this high since 2000. Mm-hmm. So that's why it tells me that, I mean, I go back, if I'm looking at Helen's sheet here, even all through the years, we've never had a month this big in this, as far as we can go look back. Is that right?
Yeah, and back 10 years. But if you look at January 2, we haven't really had one that low, that much of a loss in January either. So I'm wondering, maybe some of the figures were kind of skewed. What we got this month should have been part of what we should have received in January, because we've never been that low in January before either. Never been that high in February.
Well, I wonder a lot of things. I wonder if they, in fact, withheld or failed to withhold. We still don't have anything concrete from them on what they're going to withhold on that Music City case.
Or the process, right?
Or the process, and it's.
But I can contact the other counties right quick and see how many answers I get back to see what their sales.
It would help us. I mean, the January.
I'd be interested in Stone Christian and
Green.
Green.
Okay.
Me too.
I'll see if I can't get. I'll tell them it's urgent. See if they can get it back to me in the next like 10 or 15 minutes. I'll let you know. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It'd be nice to know if did any money get withheld from the Music City case this month? I mean, they said they were going to, but did it? Yeah. Would our number be even bigger than that? I mean,
once again, I know that Rick has requested and has done his best to get a lot of information. It may take a public service request from the attorney to.
Well, over the last summer, I got to know our new auditor, Tom Schweik, quite well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could call Mr. Schweik, too, and just request him to do some investigating, because it's hard to run a county when we're off 12% last month and now we're up 34% this month.
Well, we've got some relationship building to do with that department, and we need to start on that ASAP. Personally, I know that you all have said that before, but
The last thing on the agenda we've got before we go into general things is employee considerations. No, and that's something we don't have a time frame. We could wait till after lunch if you wanted to. But one of the discussions that we left it was we've got to come up with some definite dates of the effects of the budget discussions or the effects of the budget, and then what we are going to or what are we going to or not going to do as it relates to employee considerations.
And are you opening that up for discussion, or you want to wait till
I'm later? Just throwing that at the last thing that's itemized on our agenda.
We have it, and we have time, so I'm not opposed to certainly discussing it.
Well, one thing that needs to be made decision before we ever start down that road is whether we're going to consider, and I know that it was brought up before in our conversations as we talk to different office holders, whether the persons involved are vested. When we talk that, are we talking 5 or 8 years? Are we talking because whenever they're vested in two different surf and loggers, those are two different time frames, and consideration for those people that are vested at an 8-year period would be something that would be considered, or if it was anything less, would they be left out? I don't know. I
ask our counsel, and I would rather he speak to this himself. I know he's attending another meeting on our behalf right now, but he cautioned us to be as careful as we can in making this decision so as not to discriminate against any individual based upon time served or time not served, if I'm remembering his comments back to me, unless we have a specific written policy ahead of time, we're kind of writing the policy as we go along. So really his comments were cautionary in nature, but I certainly think that we need to be very careful in making that decision, and I certainly want his opinion on record before we
right.
do. I, you know, in looking at it, if we're looking at what you gentlemen had done last year, if someone has only been here 2 or 3 years, then the amount of dollars based upon what you had given for is really not that significant. I look at this as a one-time move by this county commission based upon discussions that we had with elected officials and being part of the decision to unfortunately let so many people go within the courthouse body of employees itself. I don't know how much further to take those comments, but the one thing I do know was the opinion I think that was forthcoming from Mac's counsel to us, or to our county counsel, was that the individuals must be in place or not have received their last check yet. Is that right, Ray?
They had to be in the payroll system still.
Still?
Yeah.
In the payroll system?
Correct.
Okay.
Because the way we do checks and
so
all that.
We're kind of at a... we're in a difficult position because we've got an elected official or two who've made their decisions and actually made those decisions the first time we spoke with them in January.
Right.
And we've got other officials who have yet to give us a time certain as to when those dates would be. Although, if I remember correctly, we chatted with them about the middle of February with a final date certain at the end of February, prior to the first day of March, with exceptions of those who they wanted to utilize that would be retiring sometime within the year. Correct?
Correct.
I think that if we're going to make, and following up to the comment that you made, Dan, the decision to offer this, then we do need to set a date, time certain, so that if an individual works 10 or 11 months before they retire, it's not offered. It would be something that's offered at the date we set, if they wish, in fact, to retire. And we have to be very careful. I know we have been in talking to all the elected officials, because it is the officials out there that are making these decisions, with the exception of the employees that fall directly under the control of the county commission. And there are a number of factors that need to be taken into consideration. Don't force anyone out because of age. Don't force anyone out because of this reason or that reason. But again, that's falling to the elected officials. And I know we've been very careful about that, but I continue to caution us.
All right, so I guess what you're saying is we'd rather wait to have counsel and then maybe have a written document from...
If we're going to offer it to some and not others, or if we're going to limit, I definitely want to have his opinion on.
Yeah, I think what we have to do is outline what we're willing to do and then have counsel write it up appropriately and then review it to see if it's legal. So, I mean, right now, I think what we'd have to do is give him a draft of what we're thinking so that he can do the evaluations with his different resources, Ivan Schrader and legal counsel and all.
Well, I also want his opinion, because I don't think this is a matter that would go into executive session, because we're not speaking about specific employees.
Right.
It's a policy that would affect a group, but...
Right. I know that I've asked them that also. Since we're not talking about specific individuals, this is not a matter of executive. I mean, I just want to remind, I mean, you have the previous policy, what we used to have, which is pretty simple, but it passed the old MAC council test, which was, it was for any full-time employee. The highlights is full-time employee. It was $200 a year of service who qualified, and they had to be still in the payroll system. That was the simplicity of it. It did sunset. It wasn't for elected officials. A couple of things that we talked about, or I'd made note during the process, which was, what do we do with the employees that want to come back on a part-time basis? Our hope is that if we lose employees through attrition this year, we would look at the employees that were affected by this budget cuts to rehire them. Well, I don't want to make sure that I don't create a policy that restricts them from coming back to work if there's a position that they're able. I mean, I would certainly like to see if we can bring them back. So I want to make sure I don't limit that case. So with that consideration of this specific situation, I'd rather not have a limitation on that right now, meaning I think at this point, with the cuts that we had to make within the budget, that we don't put a restriction on, you know, they can't come back for 2 years. That was one of the recommendations, and one of the suggestions was, you know, if they get this compensation, we called it early retirement, then, you know, one recommendation was don't let them come back for a year, and they can't work more than 20 hours a week. One said they can't work at all for us for a year. One said don't work for us full-time for 2 years. With all those considerations, I would probably, I don't think I would go forward with putting that restriction on it, just because my hope would be if we have positions come available that we don't know about right now through attrition or someone retiring or whatever, that we'd look in that employee base to bring those possible people back into those new positions. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. The other thing we talked about, we said look into the insurance payout. What little information I have had, it would require us modifying our existing health care contract. The rates would be pretty, it would affect us. And at this point, knowing a timeline that we're trying to get to, I don't think it's something we can dive into to extend, you know, extend health care, because there is COBRA out there already. So those are just some of the notes I had written down regarding this policy.
Thoughts, Dan?
The insurance deal, if you don't want to aggressively look at it, I think that's something that when we go out for bid September that we demand from whoever the agents are that they approach those situations. We would give examples of other entities that are doing exactly what we would want to do, but we don't seem to be able to get that in this timely manner. So the insurance was a big deal with a lot of people. The the plan that we had laid out that you said passed the litmus test of before, it had some things that we had to deal with at the very end of it that I don't want to have to go through again, so I'd like to re-look at that. Some was the announcement of retirement 2 years down the line or something like that. And, so I think there's still some work to be done, but now we, to answer one question that we had, is we were starting a clean slate March the 1st. No matter what the elected official, how they handled their employees through the, as we went into executive session and asked each elected official and department head if there was any names going to be mentioned that we go into executive session to not violate the Sunshine Law and all those factors. Some of those people have already taken action with their employees. Some of them were named that day with a time frame given that they were going to be there. But we, I think, as of now, from your discussions, my opinion that March 1st is a clean slate date for the new budgetary process. The monies for the budget, right?
Well, that's certainly what the guidance we gave, and we haven't created a hard date yet, because that was some of the questions they asked. I mean, our goal was, if you couldn't make the March 1st timeline, please give us those lists of individuals, and let's understand the cost of keeping them on. There was three or four that were submitted by Sheriff Russell that we haven't taken action on, meaning we haven't said yay or nay, but, I mean, from my perspective, I thought it was a doable plan, what he submitted. Some departments, I think, have already taken action. So,
yeah.
I mean, our goal was March 1st, yes,
yeah,
to have them out of the payroll system. But once again, how we budgeted this, we budgeted the reduced employee count by department starting effective January 1st, and we put money in a separate budget line item to pay for those salaries that were that may have extended past. You know, we didn't know if it was going to be February, if it was 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days of salary. So what we did was we budgeted everyone based off a January 1st number and then had this other line item to pay those wages. So that's how we kept the budget clean.
Until March 1st. Do you want to add that? I mean, is that...
Well, we've all told them March 1st, but we put money in there. We estimated the money in that line item.
That was for the retirees that fell into this category.
All employees, right.
Yeah. So that's the way I understood it also.
Right.
Well, we want to separate. There's two things. There's those who have retired because they had no option. None was given them, and those that may retire of their own volition, and were going to retire of their own volition. And I think that if you establish this policy and you put a drop-dead certain date on it, if those who are going to retire later want to utilize that option, they're going to have to meet that date and move it up.
Correct.
Correct?
So you're talking about a specific expiration date?
Yes.
Okay.
A sunset clause on what you're offering. I thought that's what you gentlemen mentioned.
That's what we did before. That's what we did before.
And if that's the case, I don't think that, or at least I think there's room for discussion, because there's two different things. Those who are leaving, we know are leaving, that would be given this opportunity. Those who are retiring, and we've accepted those individuals from those elected officials that are retiring as the individuals that they would cut also. We don't have to make that date coincide at the end of February. I mean, if we want to establish the end of the first quarter, we can do that, which would allow anybody else that's in the system to say, I want to take advantage of that. Because right now we're looking at less than 3 weeks for them to make up their minds about, I mean, if they wanted to take advantage of that offer at the same time that's being offered to those individuals that were just or are in the process of being terminated. You follow what I'm saying?
I do, but I don't know how we get around the extended. I know that
the ones that whose positions we've terminated, they're not going to be here as an employee past March 1st,
right,
with the exception of a half dozen that we've already agreed to.
Right. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Okay.
I didn't know whether you stated that.
I probably didn't state it correctly. However, for others who might be considering, or those who are going to be retiring June, July, or whatever, if they want to take advantage of this option, we can set that date to coincide at the end of February with the other date that we currently have in place, or we can extend it for a month, or
I'm willing to, at this point, extend this to the end of first quarter, which would be the end of March. January, February, March. So the end of March, March 31st at 5 p.m., which is what we did, and I don't know what day that falls on. Let me look here. The 31st is a Thursday, so March 31st at 5 p.m. would be the clause that if we're going to put a clause on. That sounds like, Ron, that you're open to.
Well, I am. I was just clarifying that that date does not have to coincide with the date of when the employees.
Correct.
That we have not budgeted for. Time is up. But that's up for. I don't have any druthers on it. But it would give additional time for anybody else who might be interested, which, in fact, would help the budget. So.
Right. That's one thing. The other thing is, do we leave it at $200? Do we raise it? Do we lower it? Do you want to try to find the insurance? I mean, I just think that it's a lot of modifications for us to make it in such a short time. So I'll just tell you, I don't think I'm willing to jump through all the hoops. I don't know if we have enough time to do all the things we'd have to do, modify the existing contract. If we were looking at extending of insurance, I just don't see it possible in the timeline. So I think if we're going to look at the policy from my perspective, I think we have to look at a cash payout versus any other, you know, for example, services, which would be extending the insurance, like City of Branson, as Branson Schools does. I just don't think we have time to do this. Plus, the current contract would have to be modified, which that seems to be would be a little bit of work.
You gentlemen want to move forward today, or set this up for discussion Wednesday, or I'm open to whatever you all want to do or not do.
I'm ready to move forward on it. I mean, there's some of the questions I had on it have been answered, which is the ability to do insurance. I at this point don't want to put a restriction on rehiring them, because I really believe that gives us some options to bring some of these employees back if some positions open up, which would be my hope that we would do that, even with the vacancies we have, looking at those positions. We've got a few vacancies right now, which we've had some employees discuss that they would like to be considered for. So yeah. I just see the policy being very similar to what we did last time. with the modification. Mr. Paulson had put some more legalese into some of the wording. We made it pretty simplistic. He wanted to put some legalese that he had sent to us.
Can I see that?
Yeah, this is his. He sent that to us first week of January.
So I find that we, in our discussions and through our cautionary talk of time frame of different people's being vested or not vested, seems to be off limits as far as what you gentlemen think we should take into consideration, because the way that I look at this is that somebody that's been hired for a year, and whenever the first of the year rolled around, that then they're due their vacation, other benefits that the county offers, and still yet we're going to add to that a dollar amount. So if they're not a vested employee, which affects every employee in the county, whenever on their retirement package, if they don't meet that time, they get that money that they've paid in to that particular account, they get that back also. They've paid it in, it's deservingly so paid back to them because they're not a vested employee. But those that are vested, we have a more shouldn't say that way, but if they're vested, their retirement plan doesn't come back to them except on request. They still receive a retirement. The vacation time for any time over that runs from 2 weeks to 3 weeks if it's 10 years or more of paid monies. I have no problem with a vested employee that's been here for a while. I do have some concern about employees that have been here for 1 year or in the fraction of less than two or something like that. I hate to give numbers out to limit what it is. I'd rather use vested terms. So you understand where I'm coming from?
So your request is, I don't think we addressed what we didn't address is, can we limit or put a restriction on based off vesting?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be outside the scope, and we just have to have our council check into it.
And that is a comment that he had made to me before, was we have to be careful about that because we could be discriminating. And that's why I said I would like to have his opinion on file with us, certainly, before we,
And that's the reason I wouldn't like to, to answer Jim's question, he said he's ready to move forward. I'm not ready to move forward because of that very thing.
Okay.
Jim, what you handed down to me, the verbiage that council passed on, is in conflict with what you said, so you need to review that.
Right. No, that's correct. This was sent before the budget discussions. He said this is the first week of January.
We're going to continue discussions this afternoon with personnel policy, meeting process, and courthouse policy, and this would fall into that. I think we should continue the discussion.
One quick question then.
Yes, sir.
For clarification, are you looking at the 5-year number or the 8-year number for vesting?
I would look at the 5-year number.
Okay.
That money's, I'd have to, and I want to look and see how they receive their payback. I know that that was a main concern of some of the road and bridge employees that were terminated and had furloughs and layoffs last year. So their monies, they didn't reach and grab those monies right away because they thought that they might be a possibility of being rehired. And some of them were rehired when openings came available. So that's why it's very difficult to say, unless we use a 5-year vested. Is the payoff on the loggers, is it the same way, Rick, you know?
Same way, what do you mean?
Well, whenever a person, if they decide to quit the county or if they were, laid off and they laid within they're not vested, then they get a check from those two.
Well, not from loggers.
Because we pay that in. So the five.
They'll get what they've.
Contributed.
Yes.
Contributed.
They will get what they've contributed to the SERF plan back, which is 4% of their salaries.
Right. So that would be, and the SERF plan is the 5-year plan.
SERF plan is the 8-year plan.
8-year plan.
They have to be here 8 years for the best.
It's. And I apologize for being redundant again. But there's really two categories of individuals, I think, that we're looking at. And we have some people who were hired who through no fault of their own find themselves without a position to serve in when they had thought they would be serving in that position based upon cuts because the dollars were not there in the budget. And again, that's just food for thought to further discussion, but I'd like to continue this discussion later. Would it be possible to break for lunch and come back this afternoon?
I would like to do that. I'd like to do some little bit of research myself.
Whatever time you gentlemen would say, 1 or 1:15?
If you're going to do some research, probably 1:15, Danny.
That'd be fine.
We'll stand in recess until 1:15 this afternoon.